But it is a delight to be here today and just to experience God's presence amongst us. And we're looking forward to praying a bit later, about half an hour or so, hopefully, with the parents and the children, Trevor and Dan Dan, along with Theodore. And his middle name is, where's the parents? Are they around? Oh, they're gone. Okay. Chenan, which is Mandarin or Chinese for Canaan. And we're going to be praying with Charles and Jan and Joshua. And normally when we do dedications, or often, not always, when we dedicated Samuel, who's Gareth and Andrea's little boy last year, I preached out of a different passage related out of 1 Samuel on their request and spoke about Hannah and Samuel. Often we go to Luke chapter 2, but today I just felt as I was praying, thinking of the two babies, Joshua, and thinking of Theodore and the middle name Chenan, which means Canaan. I thought about the association of Joshua and Canaan. Joshua was the leader that God raised up to take his people into Canaan, which is the promised land. And I felt God just stir something in me about leaving a godly legacy and raising kingdom warriors. Not warriors, warriors, yeah? And so that's what I'm going to preach about for a short while this morning. And so why is it important to raise warriors of our sons and daughters? Because there is a battle to fight, friends. It's not a battle against flesh and blood. It's not a physical battle. But we are in a battle where there's no time out, that's raging all the time. And you cannot be neutral in this battle. You're either on one side or the other. You're either with good or with evil, with truth or with false. You're under a father who's all good, who's true, or you're under another father who's all bad and who's evil, and the Bible calls, Jesus calls him the father of lies. And the father who is good, give you a clue who he is. If you take that one O out of good, you get God. Okay, the father who is evil, give you a clue who he is. If you add one letter to evil, you get the devil. Okay, there's two kingdoms in this world, the Bible teaches. We're either in one or the other. And there's still a battle to fight. Jesus Christ came to right what had gone wrong in the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned and chose to go his own way, deceived by the enemy. And sin came into this world and blocked off our relationship with God, the Father. But God, in his goodness and in his grace, chose to do something about it. And as Levere said a short while ago, he sent a family member. He sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to make a way for that barrier of sin to be removed, so that we could have access again to another Father, so that we no longer need to live under sin and in the kingdom that belongs to Satan, but we can, through turning to God, turning from our sin and yielding to Christ, seeing him as Lord and making him our own, step into another kingdom. Jesus has won that victory through what he did on the cross. The devil has been defeated, but he has not yet been eliminated. And so there is a battle still to fight, friends. And we live in a world of brokenness and challenge. And we need to know how to raise our children to stand strong in this world and make a difference for good. Yeah? Make a difference for God. And so that involves us as parents being intentional in leading them in a godly way, encouraging them, affirming them in their uniqueness, strengthening them in their hearts, that God has made them with a mission in mind, with a purpose to fulfill. And actually, they're perfect for that purpose as they line themselves up in relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And so, there's no higher privilege or responsibility than, and no higher devotion, actually. That's what dedication means. It means to devote yourself to a task. And there's no higher task than actually raising children in a godly way. And so I want to talk about leaving a godly legacy and raising kingdom warriors. A legacy is not something that we just leave when we die. A legacy is something that we are imparting all the time to those around us, and particularly those close to us in our family. It's something handed down. It's something passed on. It's something of ourselves that's left behind. It's a deposit. We're always building and modeling something either by design, intentionally, or by default. Our children are like sponges, aren't they? You know, they're just picking up things all the time. But we need to be intentional in investing in their lives. My attitudes and responses, choices now, determine the quality of the legacy I am imparting now and will pass on to others. And so we need to be intentional. It doesn't just happen. You don't just leave a godly legacy. Our example as parents reaches into the future. I want to just highlight that with a story. It's in terms of the power of our lives and the legacy that we leave. A.T. Pearson, who wrote a book, The Bible and Spiritual Life, describes the following. He says, over 400 descendants have been traced of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was born in 1703, and he was born again. In other words, he came to Christ in 1721 when he was 18. He was the leader of the Great Awakening in the USA. He himself was one of 11 children and was the only son among 10 sisters. My word, that must have been challenging. Of those descendants, the following have been traced. 400. 2 vice presidents, 6 congressmen, 14 university presidents, 100 professors, 100 preachers of the gospel and missionaries, 120 lawyers and judges, and 60 doctors. It has been said that almost every major American industry has had a descendant of Jonathan Edwards involved in it. And he died when he was just 55 years of age. Contrast that with the family of Abraham Jacques, a man who turned his back on the grace of God. More than 1,200 of his descendants have been traced, and this is what they found. 400 alcoholics and drug addicts, 810 beggars, 130 convicted criminals, 80 habitual thieves and pickpockets, 7 murderers hanged or executed on the electric chair. Out of that vast number, only 20 ever learned a trade, and most of those were in prison. The effect of one life cascading out or slipstreaming out for generations to come is huge. We do not live our lives in isolation. And Paul said to Timothy, hold on to the rich deposit that I've invested in your life, that God's put in your life, but which I've also invested through by the Spirit of God into your life. Hold on to it, stir it up, fan it into flame, and pass it on to the next generation. Pass it on to faithful men who will teach others also. And so there's a mentoring, there's a motivating, there's an encouragement, and there's a multiplying. And that's the power of leaving a godly legacy. And I want to focus in terms of the legacy of a kingdom warrior called Caleb this morning. Jackson's sitting on the back row there. Jackson and Steph, they have a young boy called Caleb. And so we've got Joshua, Caleb, and we've got Theodore, and we're wanting them all to go into Canaan. Yeah? Yeah. And Canaan's an interesting word in the Bible. Many hymn writers who've written glorious hymns in our past have an understanding that Canaan is heaven. And there certainly is an aspect of that. But actually, there's no giants in heaven. There's no enemies in heaven. There's actually nothing to be conquered in heaven. When you arrive in heaven, you'll be in Wonderland, if I can put it that way. I used that term at my mother's funeral when I had the privilege of preaching that she was a believer, and her name was Alice. And she died, and now she had stepped through the door into the literal Wonderland. Heaven is a place of no tears, no pain, no sickness, no regrets anymore. It's a place of absolute joy. That was not the case in Canaan. Canaan, battles had to be fought for promises to be gained. God said to Joshua, I've given you this land. I am with you. Go lead my people in. But he still had to go and fight for that land. And the same is true of us. Jesus has fought and won the victory, but we need to go and live out all that he has fought and won the victory for. Yeah, we receive it from him as a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. God said to Joshua, I've given you the land. It's a gift. Come with me, walk with me. But he still had to walk with God, and he had to overcome some enemies. And so, let's read some scripture together about Joshua and Caleb. And we're going to start, I'm going to read a few passages of scripture and then give you just some points related to being leaving a godly legacy and raising kingdom warriors. So we're going to go to Numbers chapter 13 first, and then we'll go into the book of Joshua. So Numbers 13, and just as a comment before I read from verse 30, to set the scene here, Moses was sending 12 of the leaders, a leader from each tribe, which is like each family, in to spy out, look out the land that God was going to give them as an inheritance. Two of those people were Caleb and Joshua. Joshua, his name was Hoshea, actually, which means salvation. And in verse 16 of chapter 30, it says, Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. It was a slight name change from salvation to Joshua, which means God is salvation. And so he sends them in, and they go in and they spy out the land. But 10 out of the 12 come back with a really bad report. You know, they've seen the giants. It looks tough. Yeah, there was fruit there, but there's lots of obstacles to overcome. And in verse 30, it says, then Caleb quieted the people. Don't you love that? Okay, boys, calm down now. You know, let's just settle down. He quieted the people before Moses, who were kind of really scared. They talked about the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the big corn bites. And so Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land which devours its inhabitants. See, this is what fear does. Fear. When we allow fear to invade our lives, it results in we're intimidated and we start to see things that are just not there. And so they exaggerate here. There's a distortion. There's lies because of fear. It's a land that consumes its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw there are men of great stature. That wasn't true. There we saw the giants, they said, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. What an amazing picture that is. And so we were in their sight. So it goes on. So all the congregation, this is what you call a negative legacy. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, this is like democracy, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Unfortunately, God didn't operate that way. He was the leader. And so he steps in. It says, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all of the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land." This was long before Mr. Kipling's exceedingly good cakes. Eh? Exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, key phrase, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. They're like a Big Mac to us. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And Moses starts to intercede for the people. And then verse 24 says this, "But my servant Caleb," and this is God speaking, "because he has a different spirit in him." God has talked about he will judge the 10 that have caused this negative report to come back and have been unbelief. But it says, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went. And, leaving a legacy, his descendants shall inherit it. Okay, let's fast forward 45 years to Joshua chapter 14. They are now in the land. They're taking possession of this inheritance. They're in Canaan. And verse 6 says, "Then the children of Israel came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him," you know, this is now 45 years later, "you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back a word to him as it was in my heart, according to my conviction. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old." No short-term memory. "And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain." I love that. "Give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me as an 85-year-old. I'll just throw that in. And I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb as an inheritance. And so Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And then into chapter 15, final couple of verses, verse 16. This now has to do with Caleb and his daughter. It says, "Caleb said," this from verse 16, "He who attacks Kiriath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife." So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as wife. And when she came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Long bits of passage of scripture. What are some of the things that we can take out of these texts? The first thing I want to say is that if we want to leave a legacy as a kingdom warrior, we need to leave a large vision in the lives of our kids. Give them a vision, a big vision of God. Feed them on a diet of the bigness of God and his grace. See, what separated Joshua and Caleb from the pack, from those other 10 leaders, was this. They'd seen God. They'd seen God's grace. Do you remember the phrase that we read in Numbers 14:8? When all the others were panicking because they just saw the giants and the enemy and the obstacle. They said, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us in and give us the land. See, friends, where you look is where you live and where your children will live. And when we look into the face of a God of grace and receive his grace and live in that grace from day to day and understand what grace means, grace means God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace means that God is for us, not against us. Grace means that God is with us, whatever situation we face. Paul said to Timothy, when he was going to go through some tough stuff and have to step up as a leader in a community where he was quite young, he said to him, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, grace is something that's robust. It's strong. It enables us to go through things. Puts steel in our backbone. Joshua and Caleb saw the grace of God, and they realized whatever the opposition, God is with us. I used to have this phrase that run the race, because we're in a marathon, run the race at a steady pace, looking into the face of God's grace. You see, it's as we look into his face, as we draw from the word of his grace, as we draw from his grace, he empowers us to run this race. And the same is true for our children. We need to feed our children on a diet of the bigness of God and his grace. We need to root them in the big story of the kingdom, of the Bible. To include them in the adventure of following Jesus. Following Jesus, friends, is an adventure. When Jesus says, follow me, he doesn't say it's going to be easy, but it's going to be exciting. As C.S. Lewis once said in the Narnia series about Aslan, he's not safe, but he is good. And Jesus wants to lead us out in adventure. And our children need to pick up the adventure of following Jesus. We need to tell them the stories of what he's done in our lives. And so, you know, over the years, they've heard about how God led me to move from this country to another country 6,000 miles away that I knew nobody. But God spoke and, you know, I responded as a 20-year-old and a whole bunch of things just unfolded as a result of just walking with God. It's not about me. Many other people have done it. But we were able to share, I was able to share that story. And then we shared, I don't know how many times we shared with the girls the story of how, or they've heard us it shared with others about how we met, Lynn and I. How we got married, how we came together through God speaking in a very particular way through a mutual friend. And I was in South Africa, Lynn was in the UK. Again, 6,000 miles apart, God spoke, and as Lynn walked in through the door of a friend's home one day and said to the friend, I'm not going to tell all the detail. My wife's saying, don't tell all the detail. Yeah. But the Lord said to this lady, Malcolm's wife, and there was a process of that being worked out. She held it. She didn't want to interfere with our lives, etc., but the process worked out. And we let God work the process out. We didn't try and put our sticky fingers on the process. But we've shared the stories. And there's been many other stories of God's hand, God's ways, God's provision. And as you share those stories, people see God's big. God's mighty. God's personal. God's creative. God's in control. And the children start, their faith starts to grow. They see the big stories in the Bible, whether it's David and Goliath, whether it's Abraham stepping out, whether it's Moses leading the people out of Egypt, and they start to see, I'm part of this big story from eternity to eternity. Do your children know they're part of this big story? an incredible thing. I remember when we planted this church in Edinburgh 11 years ago almost. We'd been here about 9 months or so. And we were walking back from a home group one evening. Lorna and I, Lorna was about 7 or 8 at that time, so she was about that high. And we were walking along, it was just the two of us, and we walked past Trinity Primary School. And she tugs on my arm, and she says, "Dad, Dad, do you remember when we took hold of these railings and we prayed, excuse me, and we prayed to the Lord to give Jenny and I a place in this school?" Because that's what we'd done. Because we lived in a catchment area, which we thought was in the catchment area for that school, but actually was in the catchment area for another school. And so we were trusting God for them to get into this particular school. And the girls took it on board, and they prayed, and we thanked God, and we just, in advance. And I'd actually forgotten, short-term memory, that we'd done that. And my 7-year, 8-year-old reminded me and said, "Do you remember we took hold of those railings?" And, you know, what rose up in me then was just incredible appreciation to God that we'd included our girls on this journey of faith. So I want to encourage us as parents, include your children. When you're tucking them in at night and you're thanking God for a good day, you know, read those stories. Let them pray. Have fun. Yeah? Enjoy the ride. It's an adventure with Jesus. Give them a global vision. It's such a privilege to have people come through your home from different nations. They catch something. Heroes in the faith. Ordinary men and women who are just ordinary people, but they're working with an extraordinary God. And that rubs off on your children, rubs off on your family. I don't know how many times over the years Jenny has vacated her bedroom. It's happening again this week, as we speak, you know. And she's on the sofa in the lounge. But, you know, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. And what you give up is nothing compared to what you receive. And our children have just benefited from people coming through our home. I want to encourage you, open up your home to people coming through it. Open up your home for meals. You know, one of the constant refrains that we had it's kind of quietened down a little bit in the last year or two, but for many years, Lorna would just say, "Okay, who's coming to dinner tonight?" Because it was just like, that's how it was. And they just grew up with that. And out of that, something of big vision came about. Second thing, leave a legacy of conviction. Caleb said, "I brought back a report according to my convictions." Somebody once said, if you don't stand up for something, you'll fall for anything. Convictions are values in our hearts that we live by. They are things that we are willing to pay a price for. Somebody said that beliefs are things that you will argue about. Convictions are things that you'll die for. And Caleb was a man of conviction. So was Joshua. There was a steel to their lives. And friends, we are continually modeling through what we are saying. Our language, our vocabulary, continually communicates something of our convictions to our children. The Bible says in Proverbs that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And we see that so clearly in this text that I read earlier, that 10 of the spies came back and they just spoke from their fear. And the result was death. The result was stepping back. The result was, shrinking back. Only 2 stepped forward and said, "No, we can do this thing. God has spoken." We have a conviction that this land is God's. That this land is ours in God, and we can do it. We can do it. We're going in. They were positive. There was a positive attitude. You know, I think it's one of the most important things for us as a parent is to cultivate a positive attitude according to the convictions in our hearts. How do we do that? Remember the prophetic promises of God. Remember what God has said. Believe it, take hold of it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. whatever we see in front of us, we're going to go forward on what God has said. The legacy of conviction. And I want to encourage us as men in particular in our families to stand up, to speak out, and to step forward, to shape our world for good. You know, right back in the Garden of Eden, when the enemy, when the serpent, the evil one, tempted Eve to take of that fruit, Adam was standing right there. And he could have just stood on the snake's head right there, and that would have been the end of it. He could have spoken into that situation to his wife and said, "No, God's spoken. We're not to take of that." Instead, he stood by passively. The enemy came in, and then he took of the fruit himself. They say in a marriage relationship that a lady has about 25,000 words a day on average to speak. And a bloke has about 10,000 words a day. But I want to encourage us, when we speak, although we may speak on average less, we need to speak up and take the gap. Yeah? You see, our children live in the legacy of our affection as husbands for our wives. Yeah? And to a large extent, that comes through the words that we say. So we need to establish a vocabulary of love, appreciation, honor, respect, delight, joy, praise in our home. And when we do, guess what? The children will pick that up too. And it'll go out into the community. Convictions in the heart flow out into the community. Third thing, a legacy of wholehearted commitment. That phrase we had in the text there, that Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord. What are we devoted to as parents? It's a scary thing as a dad that my passion to a large extent will become my children's passion. What I devote myself to, what I make as my priorities, my children will follow in my footsteps. And yet, it's a wonderful privilege. It's a wonderful responsibility to be devoted to something that's going to last for eternity. Caleb was devoted to God. Devotion to Christ and his word. A devotion to God's plans through and with God's people. And one thing I love about Caleb was he served Moses because he was wanting to serve God. Yeah? And he was wanting to go in and to all that God had for not just him, but for the whole company of Israel. He was selfless. He lived for the benefit of others. He lived to serve others. He made himself available to serve another man's vision. Now, Joshua and Caleb were kind of like peers, yeah? They went in together. But God's choice to lead the whole nation was Joshua, not Caleb. And Caleb didn't nosedive at that point, saying, I've been bypassed. You know, I've been left out. You know, and then he kind of goes up the Miff tree. Or, you know, his nose gets bent out of shape. No, he embraces God's choice, Joshua, and we see him coming to Joshua and asking for permission to take that mountain. Wonderful servant-hearted attitude. You see, his focus was on God, serving God with God's people. How about us? Because our wholehearted commitment to God is revealed, and his word is revealed in many ways, but often it's expressed how we are committed into his plans through his people and with his people. In the early church, they devoted themselves to being with God's people, to fellowship, to prayer, to breaking of bread. It was a devotion. I've seen over the years, I remember good friends of ours telling us the story. Well, Well, let me give another example. A couple who grew up in our church that we led in South Africa. Initially, when we met this young girl, she was probably about 7 or 8 years of age. She married another guy in the church, and who also came in when he was about 18. They led our youth ministry for a while. Then they went out to plant another church in another town. And just recently we heard they've now got 3 children, and their eldest is 5 years old, and his name's Josiah. And recently he was baptized in water, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. 5 years old. That's what happens from one generation to the next. But I can tell you what, that girl's mother, Cheryl, was devoted to the family of God. She was devoted to God, and she was devoted to being with the people of God. And it rubbed off on her daughter. And she was there at the prayer meetings. And the daughter that was there in worship, she was there. And as a 14-year-old, she went out to Swaziland. And God changed her life on a mission trip as she went out. And now she's influencing her children. And it will go to their children. Children's children. Devotion. A wholehearted commitment. Walking with consistency and integrity. Fourthly, a legacy of strength. A legacy of strength. You know, where Caleb says, I'm as strong this day as I was many years ago. Let me ask you a quick question this morning. Who is Jesus more like? Mother Teresa or Braveheart? You may think that's a strange question. Jesus is the tender-hearted warrior. He is the epitome of love. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He cleanses the leper. He is full of compassion. And yet, to the Pharisees, he is straight down the line, and he's more like William Wallace, direct, in their face, telling them they're hypocrites because they should be leading the people in a godly and righteous way, and they're full of religion and hypocrisy and sham and show. See, Jesus is the tender-hearted warrior who the common person flocked to, but he spoke directly into situations where there was hypocrisy and falsehood. He was a man's man. He was strong in heart, in mind, in spirit, in character. How do we train our kids to become strong in character? Just practically training them through the knocks of life, the difficult things in life, the challenges of life. Not making decisions for them, but helping them to make decisions for themselves. You know, when they come back from school, as ours have come on a few occasions, and they've got problems at school, either with their peers or an area of difficulty, a relationship, even sometimes with a teacher. How do we respond to that? Do we react or do we respond? Do we help them to take stock of the situation? Not to blame their teachers, not to blame their peers, but ask the question, what can we learn from this? What good choices can we make? Help them to develop their weaknesses. Give them tools for life. Encourage them to push through. And to make the choices for themselves. Somebody said this, that there is a choice you have to make in everything. In everything you do. So keep in mind that in the end, the choice you make makes you. Helping them to make good choices. Developing their character. Affirming them, directing them, training them, coaching them. And the thing is, with strength, again, it's as much caught as it is taught. And you know how we respond to the challenges, to the nitty-gritty things of life, our children are watching, and they catch how we respond, and they live in the good of it for themselves. Fifthly, challenge, a legacy of challenge. I love the fact that Caleb wasn't going to give his daughter in marriage to a wimp. So he says, I want my daughter to marry somebody like me who's going to take a city. So he says, somebody who takes that city can have my daughter's hand in marriage. And he put a challenge out. I remember Levere telling me, Levere's got three daughters. And I'm not sure whether this was with the first prospective son-in-law who came to him and said, I'd like to have you take this daughter in marriage. But so he said, okay, that's okay. But there's a condition. There's a challenge. You must learn Psalm 119 off by heart before that becomes a reality. Yeah. He was joking, of course. But I remember Bruce Richter saying when, because they also had, how many daughters did they? Three. They had three daughters as well. And the first guy who came to ask about one of their daughters, and he said he described himself as the Lord of the Rings. In other words, he's in charge of the rings here. And let's have a good discussion to find out what your values are, where you stand in relation to Jesus Christ, what's beating in your heart for your future, what are you passionate about, what are the convictions in your heart. Yeah, where are you going in life? I want to know that as a father before, you know, I say yes to you, you know, engaging in a relationship with my daughter. Challenge. You see, we live in an under-challenged generation. It's easy to park off on the couch with the iPhone or the iPad or the, I don't know, all these different games that kids have these days, you know. No, there's an adventure to live. There's a walk to be had on the whatever it is. There's a men's time in whenever it is. Yeah, there's stuff to be done. There's things to be seen. There's a creation out there to be explored. There's wonders to be appreciated, beyond your bedroom, beyond your living room. We need to challenge our children. See, if we don't challenge our kids, we consign them to mediocrity. Yeah. If nobody challenges me in my life, then I will not achieve and be stretched into all that God has for me. We need to be challenging, to go further, to be stretched further. Yeah, faith is like a muscle. It grows by stretching. And if we're going to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ and raise up warriors, then we need to be stretching our children. Say, you can do it. There is more. Don't settle down. You're the man. Go for it. Yeah? Yeah, and I think it's wonderful just that Ashley's got that result this week. He's pushed through, been stretched. He's worked round the clock, literally, for many days on stuff. I know he's done that. Yeah? And he's pushed through and there's been a result. And there's a door opening up for the next step. Yeah, we've got to push ourselves through. Don't give up, don't put up the white flag and stretch one another. And finally, a legacy of blessing. Children are a blessing from God. Can you say yes? Those of us who are parents, children are a blessing. That wasn't a very loud yes. Children are a blessing from God. Yeah, I see one of the children agreeing. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Okay, absolutely. As a secure child, he knows he's a blessing. Yeah. Remember one family I knew, you know, they called their third son. They called him a blessing from the day he was born. And out of the bath, he would cry, "Hey, Mom, your blessing from God's ready." You know, ready for it to be changed or dried down or whatever it was. Yeah. No, yeah, our kids need to know that they're blessings. They're not kind of, you know, yeah, they're not an inconvenience. They're not a necessary evil. They're not an intrusion. They're not an inconvenience. They are blessings. And we have the responsibility of leading them into the blessing of God. And the ultimate blessing is when they find Jesus for themselves. That isn't automatic. But it goes a long way when we as parents are devoted to Jesus Christ and leading them in godly ways. Like Caleb wholeheartedly devoted himself to the Lord. Jesus, his name is Yeshua. It's the Greek term of Joshua. It means the Lord is our salvation. Jesus came to save the world. Jesus came to restore the hearts of fathers to their children and children to fathers. It's an amazing thing that text that Levir quoted from earlier, he didn't finish off that verse. He says, it talks about, I'll restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers unless I come and smite the land with a curse. You see, one of the curses of our age is fatherlessness. It's probably the most challenging demographic in our society, a lack of a father figure. If you go online and just look at some of the statistics there, most of the brokenness in our world, leading to crime, leading to addiction, most of it, a good percentage of it, comes from a lack of a father figure. And that's why the Father in heaven is addressing us afresh this morning. The ultimate Father says, I love you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you, fathers. I want you to come into a relationship with me where you see me as I see you. Because I love you. I see you through eyes of grace. I don't condemn you. I love you. I love you. I sent my Son for you so that you could live in a place of freedom and strength, live a life of conviction and wholeness, enjoying life as it was meant to be enjoyed and lived, and in a relationship with the Father, in a relationship with his family, and knowing freedom in your own family and leaving a blessing to generations. I'm just going to pray, and then we'll invite the children to come back in. And we're going to pray with Trevor and Dan Dan and Charles and Jan with their children. Let's just pray together. God loves you. And he's spoken in this meeting today, this morning, in the worship and through the preaching of his word. And yeah, I'm just going to give a couple of moments just for you to respond to him. He's a living God. He's a living Father. And he gives us an opportunity to choose life today. To choose life. He never forces himself upon us. He gives us freedom of will, freedom to choose, to open that door. But as we do that, we receive life, we come into freedom, and the effect is huge. In our marriage, with our children, from one generation to the next, and out into the workplace where we work and the community where we live. I also just want to say, if you're wanting to respond this morning to the Father, you may be already in a relationship with Christ this morning. But something of what I've shared, something of what has been shared this morning in terms of returning to God, leaving a legacy of conviction, a legacy of strength, legacy of blessing, legacy of challenge. If you're wanting to respond, I want to just throw out the challenge this morning. If you're wanting to respond, I want to just challenge you to stand. right now. And I'm going to pray. It's not for me, but sometimes it's good for us to say, yeah, I want to put my convictions on the line afresh. I want to stand and say yes. I want to be a man. I want to be a woman who leaves that legacy for good in the life of my children and beyond. Father, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the joy of responding to you. You're a God of all grace, and you're a God of all life. And yeah, so Father, I just thank you for speaking into and meeting with every heart in this place today. We thank you that as you've spoken, where you've brought conviction, where you've brought challenge, where you've brought truth, Lord, we desire to respond to you and to go out and make a difference in our world. Thank you, Father. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've made that possible in every way. Amen. And then if the other leaders would like to come forward, that'd be great. Okay. Okay, so this parenting is, we like to say that we don't arrive as a parent with it all together, fully assembled, batteries included. We need help from God, and we need to look to God for his help on a daily basis. And we also need support from the church family, brothers and sisters who can help us on the journey. And so we're here today to encourage, to build up, to strengthen, to comfort with words from scripture, prophetic words, words that God gives us, and with our prayers. And we're praying primarily for the parents, and we're going to just be praying for the children as well, trusting God for things over their lives. So I'm just going to open it up. We'll pray first, we'll focus first on Charles and Jan. Okay. So let's go with Charles and Jan first, and Joshua, and I'm going to ask folk on the team here if they've got any words of encouragement for them. So, and there's a microphone here. We want to record these, please, Ash, so that we can pass them on in due course. All right. So yeah, excuse me.
Well, yeah. I just had two scriptures for Joshua. One's in Joshua, 1 verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you." And also Zephaniah 3 verse 16 and 17, "On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness and quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." And just really felt God promising that he will be with Joshua. And just wanted to speak that he'll be with him wherever he goes, and that he doesn't need to fear. And whatever the big call is he has for him, he's promising from the beginning that he is always there.
You'll need to get the tape, because a lot of what I had got from Joshua was shared this morning. through Malcolm's message. But Joshua, that of being a warrior, but felt that of being a peacemaker. And that of Matthew 5, verse 8 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God." And I just felt that with Joshua, he would be that son that would be set apart to do that of God's work. And Malcolm spoke this morning about that of Yehoshua being the Greek meaning of Yahweh, that of the same meaning of Christ, and bringing that of salvation to many. And that's what I had for that little guy this morning, to be set apart as a peacemaker in God's work.
Come stand over here. You can do yours first.
Right. When praying for Joshua, I felt the words "quiet authority" for him, because I believe he will grow up and have just a sense of just quiet authority to lead people, but not with loud noises and loud shouts, but just in a very inner strength way. And also I felt he's going to be a man with a big heart, just a very big heart for people and compassion. That was
Jen, I saw you back at your wedding day for some reason, and I felt God just to remind you of that place of you, your presence with him, that beauty that he bestows, that beauty upon you. And just as you lead these two, as you lead your children into that place of his sonship and that daughtership and that place of adoption and that love and that security that you give for them, it was just a wonderful picture of just reminding you of that special place somehow linked to your dad as well. So yeah. And Charles, just for your just this Malcolm mentioned earlier, the giants, you know, and that father's blessing that we heard last week, that your sons will grow up to be giants of the faith. And I just feel the same for sons. just your responsibility as well, and just your ability. And just when we pray for you now, I just believe for there to be that impartation for your vision to rise above all things, all difficulties. He's just going to empower you with that Holy Spirit to go beyond, and just as you lead your family out of the mist and into the clearness of the day and his presence and his goodness. I just felt that that anointing to be bestowed on you. Amen.
I just got something really little. Joshua and strong, and just as you're a great example to both of your kids, he is going to be a good example to those around him.
What I've got is, when I was pondering over it this morning, it's difficult to separate the two, and in what I'm feeling, in the picture I had was the two young ones, and the picture I had was that I saw Joshua with a sword as the fighter, but I saw Theo with a shepherd's crook as a shepherd looking after. And I just felt that these young ones are going to be people that are willing to fight for it, but also to care for it. And the scripture I had was from Samuel, and it was the story of Eli. And when God was calling, and he kept on running to Samuel, and he says, I'm here. Other way around. And he kept on saying, "I'm here to serve. I'm here. What do you want?" And I feel that God is saying, you need to teach your children how to hear God's word. So that's the picture that I have for both of them. Thanks.
Yeah, so we're going to pray with Charles and Jan and for Joshua now. The scripture that I felt, which ties in with what others have shared, was when they were looking, as Moses was calling out to God, who do I provide a shepherd for that will lead your people? And he said, take Joshua, a man in whom is the Spirit. And so as we pray now, and for him and for Charles and Jan, I pray for it. Yeah, just that he will grow up and be that man in whom is the Spirit. And that he'll influence people with that gentle authority, that compassion that has been and courage that has been spoken about. He's just puking over the the napkin right now. That there'll just be that the Spirit of God upon him, you know, for God to do all that he wants to do through him. Yeah. Okay, let's just pray. So, Father, we just thank you for this family. Thank you for Charles, thank you for Jan, for Kayla, for Joshua. We thank you for this moment of just praying for them and for Joshua particularly. We thank you for strengthening Charles and Jan and empowering them. And we pray for joy for them in the journey. There would just be that artesian well of joy, that artesian well of life as they draw from the wells of salvation within them, as they draw from the throne room of heaven. I thank you, Lord, that you will bless them with joy. You'll bless them with life. That this will be a happy family centered around you. And they will just go from strength to strength in your joy. That you will know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so, Father, we just thank you for little Josh. And, we want to pray that your Spirit would come upon him from a young age. Mm. And that you would use him from a young age to be that warrior, that man of compassion, that boy of compassion. And that, he would be taught and he would learn for himself how to hear your voice from a young age. And so we pray your blessing upon them, that you would guide and direct them along the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And that as a family, they would just go from strength to strength, overcoming every obstacle, every assault of the enemy, going through and in the power of your anointing and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great. Bless you.
Thank you.
You can stay here because you're part of the team, so it would be good to have you here. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I just want to say that and who God is and how real God is. I want you guys to do the same for Joshua. And just as he's growing up, he's going to be looking to his extended family, all you guys, how you live in this world. And you're going to be examples to him. So, thank you for that.
Good. Okay. So for Theo and Theodore, Chenin, Chinen, Martindale, and for Trevor and Dandan and Ariel as well. Gareth, you want to kick off?
Yeah, okay, that's fine. For you guys, I just know that you're, you know, hearing about the generations thing, you know, how father, what's his name? John Edwards. I just felt this morning for you guys, I was thinking the footsteps, great footsteps have gone before you. And just that expectation of God's got a plan for you. And, it's a wonderful journey of great, sort of doing great things for God. And just that's in preparation, that momentum that will slingshot, you know, into the future, that Theo will do the same, that he too will take what you have built, take those foundations and build on those things to go further than you've ever imagined. And that'll bring you great joy. Both of you as well. Because just reminded of your heart for the King, your heart for God as well. I remember just seeing, hearing your story of just what happened in China, and just your heart to see God being revealed to people, and just that wonderful passion that you have for Jesus. I just feel this time there's a together that unity that as you guys get momentum, it's just going to slingshot into the future. So I just feel it's a wonderful blessing that you guys are going to have such joy after that when you see that.
What came to me when I was thinking and praying about Theodore is that is of a mountain peak, and the image came a few times of him climbing to the top of a mountain, the summit of a mountain, that's sort of pioneering and going above all the clouds and being able to see over things, and not needing a lot of strength to get up there, but just the skill of being able to climb up to the top, and getting to the top. And I just want to pray that God really gives him the insight and understanding of seeing over all the obstacles and troubles that come in this life, and putting Jesus first and seeing Jesus through that.
I just see a boulder in him building the kingdom of God, and so you guys need to really give him a good foundation for him to build on.
I have two things. I see Theodore as a man of passion. Just whatever he does, he will do 100%. And I just pray that this whatever will be God in his kingdom. And the other thing God gave me was the word creativity, and I believe that is twofold. Firstly, he will be very creative in the things he does, but I also pray creativity over you as a family and your parenting, just that God gives you the wisdom and creativity for every situation to deal with it in a good and godly way, and that this creativity gives you the option to also think beyond the normal things that you would do in a certain situation, but rather plug into God and see what his solution is.
When I was thinking of Theodore, I thought of Theodore Roosevelt, that of President of the United States. And when I started to go down that track, he was a soldier. He was a warrior in the army. And just wanted to highlight that of part of bringing reform to that of the United States through things that he had started. And then if you look back on where he came from, he was from the Dutch Reformed Church at that time. And so therefore, this little guy, I felt, was going to be that of a reformer to that of the nations. And in Isaiah 42, verse 1, it says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." And that's what I felt, that God's going to use this little guy to bring reform, but out of justice to the nations.
Mine was actually Dad shared it in the preach, but I don't know how much of the preach you guys heard. I just really felt like he was going to be a man of God's word, which is quite fitting for, because of both of you and how much you both love God's word and studying theology. And I was reminded of 2 Timothy 1, where it talks about by the Holy Spirit within us, God, the good deposit that's in you. And it really links in with what Val shared about starting a foundation. And I really want to encourage you to, as you would put some money in a bank at the birth of your child and save up money for a long time, there's going to be, God promises that there's going to be a good deposit in his life in the future. And I want to encourage you to start investing early and reading God's word to him, speaking God's word over him. And that he's going to have such a passion and desire for God's word and really wants to study it. And I really felt specific verses which are written down from Psalm 119, but the whole of Psalm 119 as well, for him, that he would be such a lover of God's word.
We heard a wonderful message this morning on the importance of legacy. And I don't know you well personally. I don't know your story about how you met. You know, that little love affair that brought you together. But how you view it and how you came together and how God views it are actually maybe two different stories. Because God had a divine purpose in bringing you together that includes your background, your culture, everything about it. And it's also going to affect your son and your other children. God has something special, purpose, in intertwining your lives together. Yes, you fell in love and you got married and you have children, but it's something far beyond that, what God's going to do in the future. And it will involve your children as well. And hear his voice. Prepare yourselves as men and women of God, your children, because God will raise your family up, and there's an end-time purpose in what you'll do, not only locally, but even to the nations.
Yeah, I just felt nations as well, actually. I think, I felt that in the process is stepping out. And the name Theodore means, Theo is God, is from the Greek God, and Dor is from Dore, which means a free gift. So it's a free gift of God. Children are a gift of God. He's a gift of God. And I really sense that this thing of freely you've received, freely give. And it's going to cost you something as parents, both in terms of investment and then release. Investment and then release. But a sense of I see God releasing his gifts through Theo into the future to many people. Gift of life, gift of joy, gift of the gospel, gift of truth, gift of the word. Yeah, just the what he receives, he'll pass on to others. And so there's a journey ahead. Yeah, and so invest in yourselves. Seek to step out where you are now for the future that God has for you. Yeah. Good. Let's pray. Yeah. Father, we just thank you for this family. Thank you for Trevor and Dandan, Ariel and Theodore. We thank you for the other family members who are here today, have come to witness this time, this moment. And we thank you for those footsteps. Those footsteps, the steps that have been before them and the steps that go before them. And we thank you for leading them, directing their paths. We thank you that you are the good shepherd who leads in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And we thank you for the purpose and the plan. And Lord, I pray that both for Dandan and for Trevor, that you would just enlarge them, enlarge their hearts, enlarge their capacity, enlarge them in the season. And I pray that they, as we prayed for Charles and Jan, that you would just bless them with your joy. Release the joy of the Lord upon their lives, that they may have a passion for you and they may enjoy this journey. And we pray for Theodore that that all that has been spoken over him, Lord, that you would cause him to be a man that stands out, that stands up for you, that a reformer into the nations, someone who freely gives what he's freely received to others. We thank you, Father, for just that influence going out, going out. Thank you for creativity. Thank you for, yeah, just that special, unique giftings that you're going to put in his life, which you're going to cut through, which you're going to awaken people's lives to you. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.